Attitudes, good, bad, or ugly, we all have them. Welcome to the Transform Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Powers. In today's episode, Dr. Matthew Lee Smith, Director of Eagles and Leadership, discusses one of the key attitudes that mark Jesus' disciples. Each attitude builds on the previous one, and together they form the disposition of a true child of God. Now let's open our Bibles to Matthew 5 and study one of the eight attitudes that ought to be in our lives as disciples of Jesus.
Verse 4, chapter 5 of Matthew. Now the context of this attitude is to be humble. So if you're going to humble yourself, what do you have to do if you're going to humble yourself? You set yourself down. And when you set yourself down, what would you be noticing about yourself in the process of setting yourself down? Here's a word we don't use anymore in the church, and this is why we're in the mess we're in. We don't feel any of this. You see, the problem is, when we're not poor in spirit, is we actually believe we're the fourth person of the Trinity. Well, technically the third. We push the spirit into the fourth. And sometimes the second, because you know Jesus, he's busy. And sometimes the first, because I know what God said, but he's not paying attention to what's going on in my life right now. And none of you would ever admit this, but it's true all the way to your core, that oftentimes you have thought that you have a better plan than him. How do I know that? Because you're not living his plan. When I'm not living his plan, I have a better plan than Jesus does or the Father does. I told you this gets better. Shame. You see, if you don't have any shame for the way you acted that wasn't poor in spirit, then you probably are going to have a hard time with the Christian life. Because sin that dwells in you, if it brings no shame, as you taint the glory and the story of the name and the fame of Jesus, you still think you're more important than you ought to be. But if you get a good look at the ugliness of your selfishness and self-rightness, then you will mourn. Now the word to mourn means to cry and weep and wail. It's not this. It is wrenching. Wrenching. We cry, weep, wail. The idea here is we are unconsolable. Why? Because of the shame we have brought to the name and the fame of God. We have deified ourselves by being rich in spirit. And we name it and we claim it like we're the first person of the Godhead. When the Bible didn't tell you to do that at all. Anywhere. Who do we think we are? Remember what Jesus said? Ask and you will receive when you ask in my name. So just do that. Just try that for a while. It works. It works. In fact, sometimes before you even know you have a need, because you've just been doing it this way. See, my wife and I right now, we pray every day, Lord, you're going to have to take care of all the extra stuff. Got no extra cash running around, okay? I didn't know that Tuesday when I took the car in, I didn't know whether it was going to cost me 20 bucks or hundreds because it was overheating. I took it in. Cost me 60 bucks. Another emergency. Cost me 30 bucks. But Monday, somebody gave me 100 bucks. Amen. The prompting of the Holy Spirit. See, my God will supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus when, do you remember the context? When you give to missions. That's the context. Philippians 4. Not when you just yank that verse out of context and say, anytime I have a need, that's not what that context is. We just give. We've been giving. My wife said to me the other day, why are you giving so much money? And then because God told me to. Okay, we don't have that money right now. I said, well, it came out of my personal money. Where'd you get $20? I said, honey, I've been saving my money. Now listen, when you start to realize that you have brought this shame upon His name by puffing yourself up and exalting yourself, it should bring out an emotional response. Did you know that now medical doctors tell us that only the tears of mourning, not the other tears you cry, only the tears of mourning release toxins from your body that can create all sorts of disease? Want to know why so many sick people in the church? No shame. Saved? Maybe. But no shame. These are attitudes that need to be. And I need to be poor in spirit, and that ought to bring some shame. And I ought to think about what I've done to the name of Jesus Christ, and that ought to bring me to an emotional response. Any of you ever done anything you're ashamed about?
Yes.
Let's just blurt them all out, right? No, I don't think so. Right? Ain't doing that. Why? Because we're ashamed of it. Well, then why don't you take that shame upward? Get along with Jesus. Listen, some of you are going, well, it's all forgiven. Well, it ain't forgotten. Take it to the Lord. Talk to Him about it. Weep over it. Do you ever get to that point where you're talking with God, it's just you and God, and you've been there for a while, and you're just... you can't understand why He would bother with you one more minute. And you start crying. That's what this is. That's what this is. If you don't have any idea what I'm talking about, you need to start naming your own sins. Count your many failures. Name them one by one. And it will horrify you to see what you have done. You see, this is an attitude that we need to possess, that sin is so horrific to God. Remember that He is what? Holy. See, here's our target goal. Be ye as I
am holy.
And the context of that Old Testament quote had to do with what?
Food.
It had to do with what you ate. And you know I'm on a mission. Our guests don't know this, but I'm on a mission. Your number one killer is diabetes, a self-inflicted gunshot wound. Just reading Ebony last night, going through it again. There they are, listing the major issues. Hypertension, dealing with... anybody know what that is? You know where that comes from? Fried foods. How do I know? I love them too. I had to give them up. Right? Too much pork. Too much beef. I had to give that up too. Drop the sausage. I love sausage. Okay, I'm from Wisconsin. German home. Okay? You ain't had sausage till you had ancient Germans who make it at home themselves. You ain't had sausage. We got worst for everything. Bratwurst. Oh, man, I'm telling you. I threw it all off. I wanted to live. Self-inflicted gunshot wound. Remember where holy comes from. It's an issue. It starts with the issue of what you eat. Why? Because in chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians, Paul says, you are the temple of the Lord. Chapter 6, he tells you again, you are bought with a price. Glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Glorify God in your body. You have to glorify. Now, he's not talking about a great big temple like the temple in Jerusalem. He's talking about, have you ever seen those old houses with the carved in little places? Where you can put a statue inside the wall? Those are called niches. And they were called temples, little temples, niches. And this was a place where you worshipped. And so they'd have the little god. And they'd have a little, maybe if this was appropriate to the god, they'd have a little incense burner, and you'd just make a little offering right there, be in the wall, right on the outside in Jerusalem, on the when Jerusalem fell in 586 BC, there was a god on every corner in Jerusalem in one of these niches. And that's why one of the reasons God took them out. But Paul turns that around and says, you and you and you and you and you are niches, temples of the Holy Spirit. Now listen, that's your body. And if you're not ashamed of some of the stuff you do, maybe it's time you stop doing everything you're doing and get alone with God this weekend. Forget church. It's not doing you any good anyway. If you don't have any shame, if you have any sense of being, you're not poor in spirit and it doesn't bother you, maybe you need to just stop going to church this weekend and get alone with God for 2 days and start talking about who you really are, not the phony one you've been pasting on at church. And get right with God. And if you aren't doing this, you ain't spending enough time in front of Him. Probably you ain't spending any time in front of Him at all. Because everybody in the Bible who came actually face to face with the Almighty had a very similar line. I'm doomed. Even, as I've told you a dozen times, Revelation chapter 1, John, the disciple whom Jesus loved, as implication, the only one he really, really loved. Of course, everybody's dead, so nobody can argue with him. He sees the Jesus who sits at the throne, falls flat on his face, and Jesus has to say to him, do not be a phobic of me. Don't fear me. Get back up on your feet. Even John. Because when you step into the presence of God, you begin to be ashamed. Ashamed of how you use your time. Ashamed of what you eat. Ashamed of how you talk. Ashamed about your attitude. Ashamed about what you drive. Ashamed about where you live or whatever. I don't know what it's going to be. He's going to talk about those things with you. Now I want you to notice we're talking about this. Blessed are those who mourn. Dakina, would you finish that for us, please?
For they shall be comforted.
Now I want you to notice that this is, there's a promise here. There's a promise. When you were looking at the first one, there was a promise with that one too. What was the promise with being poor in spirit? So there's a lot of people running around, have no idea what poor in spirit means, because being poor in spirit has a promise to it. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So if your spirit, if your attitude is self-full, you can very quickly understand you've got eternal issues. Now, a lot of people talk about these beatitudes, but they miss the point. These are diagnostics. They're diagnostics. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So, how do I know? Remember, we keep going back to this. I keep showing you verse after verse after verse after verse after verse after verse in the Bible that shows you how you can easily figure out, one, if you're going, and two, if somebody else is going. And this, I prayed a prayer, I'm going to heaven, ain't cutting it nowhere in the text. Imagine the guy, the gal at the wedding ceremony. I do. I do. Then you never see them again. Did they? Just because somebody came down the aisle or lifted up a hand or prayed a prayer doesn't mean they're saved any more than this couple getting married just because they exchanged vows in front of a few people. Where there is no commitment, there is no certainty. But Jesus is emphatic. Blessed, as opposed to being cursed, are the poor in spirit. All that we talked about. Why? The blessing, what's the blessing? Heaven. Eternal life. How do I know that I possess it or I don't? Check my spirit. Check my attitude. If I'm better than somebody else, I should be worried. If you want to be great in the kingdom of heaven, you must be the servant of all. If you want to be first, you must be the slave. That starts as an attitude, and it comes out of your mouth when you're bit. Second, blessed are those who mourn. Why?
They'll be comforted.
They'll be comforted. Mm-hmm. Now, this word for comfort, frequently in the New Testament, is the word to come alongside of. Mourn. Be comforted. Now listen, this isn't Jesus going to comfort you. 2 Corinthians 1:3 and 4. Evelyn, would you be so kind? Turn over there to 2 Corinthians 1, 3, and 4. Listen to what Paul says is where the comfort comes from.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercy, God of all comfort, took us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God.
Now, first you got comforted by God, but who, blessed are those who mourn, who are they going to get comforted by? By us. Isn't our job to come alongside people and care for them? Isn't it that we love one another and we care for one another and we come alongside and we say, Althea, I'm so sorry for you. What can I do for you? How can I help you? That's the comfort we're going to get. By the way, how does God comfort us? If you read real carefully in this text, it tells you. How does God comfort us? Just 3 and 4. How does God comfort us? God comforted us by sending what? Somebody who was part of the body of Christ to us. We're all looking for the super spiritual answer. Folks, you are the hands and feet of Jesus. If your attitude isn't, I care about other people, you ought to be concerned. You see, people who are crabby don't have people who come alongside them. It's not rocket science. Blessed are those who mourn. Why? They're shamed. Oh, their attitude. They've got a, I've set myself down attitude. So they become, what's the word we use today? When you have this set myself attitude down, they become approachable. You felt great comfort just walking up and talking to me. Okay? See? Now you know people you don't just walk up to.
Right.
They're kind of like porcupines. And you know what the church is like? Church is like a bunch of porcupines on a cold night. The more they get close to each other, the more they needle each other. Okay? Want to know why a church is in trouble? This is the issue. This is the issue. We're so self-righteous and self-possessed. Well, what do you think? What are you doing? What do you think? What do you mean by that? I can see it on people's faces. It takes me about 4 seconds. You see, you can never appreciate the mercy of God until you need it. Aren't you grateful? How many of you know Amazing Grace? A little song, right? So let's just walk through the words real careful. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound
that saved a wretch like me.
Did you know in the new hymn books it says that saved a one like me? Want to know why? Aren't any wretches left in the church? Want to know why there's no wretches left in the church? No shame. We've been preaching the wrong gospel. Anybody got a list of sins usually after the course of a day? Anybody? I mean, some days I don't have any, and I'm grateful, but I still do the inspection. Do you remember the prayer I gave you guys?
Yes.
If you're using that and you're sincere, he'll get that sin out of you. A lot of people tell me, I just set that prayer aside, Doc. I want to be right with God. So I ask Him. I ask Him the questions that the Scriptures ask. Search me, O God, and know my heart. That's a big, big invite. So our attitude stinks, and people pick up on that. And when you're going through problems, they don't say, oh my, Blaine's going through problems. They go, about time God got him. Now, they don't mean to do that. But you can't go against your default sinful programming every time. I'm talking about you. We do this. You're watching TV going, ah! Why do I like murder mysteries? I want the bad guy to get it. I was watching Jessica Fletcher last night. I was just sitting there going, okay, man, this one I don't remember. How does she get him? Is it a him or is it her? And I couldn't remember, and I couldn't remember. And then she goes, dot, 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 dot. And I went, that's it. And she's got her. And sure enough, of course, you know, what was it, 70s, 1970s, 1980s, you know. And so the lady just spills the whole spiel right there. I mean, you know, never heard of Miranda or anything like that. You know, just spills the whole spiel, you know. So I just never went, yes, got her. Okay, then I could go to bed. So all was right with the world. The bad guy got caught. Now we have this craving for justice. Mercy, not so much. If we're going to be merciful, we have had to have dipped into mercy ourselves recently. And what I find in the church is that not too many people are dipping into mercy because they really don't need it. At least in their own estimation. Why? Because they're not poor in spirit. But once you're poor in spirit, you not only dip into it, you give it. And you give it. And you give it. And that's where you get it from. Because Galatians 6:7 says, whatever goes around comes around. What you sow is what you reap. Yep. And people ain't got no time for crabby people. There's this lady in a church, a couple, three back, that I used to pastor. Do you ever wonder why crabby, nasty people don't die? I'm serious. You ever wonder? I'll tell you why. God is a God of mercy. He's waiting for those crabby people to repent. Because Peter tells us in 2 Peter 3:9, he is not willing that any should perish. Even those crabby people who should. And she ain't dead yet. You got people like this in your life.
How do you handle that?
Well, sometimes you just walk away. If it's your spouse, you can't, but how do you handle that? Sometimes you have to walk away. But you have to go back and find out, first of all, if you're poor in spirit. Folks, you gotta watch this stuff. Poor in spirit, no shame, no mourning. Guess what? People don't come alongside you when you got problems. They don't come for you if you don't have those attitudes of rightness. You know, I'm a pastor, you know, I've been pastoring for all these decades. I'm amazed at the number of old people who are all alone. I'm not amazed at why they're all alone. I'm amazed at how many of them there are that are church people. Melody's grandmother, bless her heart, back in Missouri, she's now in heaven. Melody's grandmother, yeah, her and Methuselah and Grandpa were all friends. They were all friends. And Grandma got to be too old to teach her Bible study at the church anymore because she was just couldn't get out every week. It was just a little too hard for her. And so they just moved the Bible study to her house. But the trouble was, the Bible study was filled 20-somethings. They did not want to end the Bible study with the lady who knew Methuselah. Why? Because Grandma was amazing. She had these Beatitudes down. She lived them every day. It was the 20-somethings that sought her out in her 70s. But I've watched all these old, crabby people just paint themselves into a corner. You know what that metaphor means, right? Paint yourself into a corner, you know? Paint yourself into a corner where you're just painting and all of a sudden you realize, I can't get out of here. Okay, I see them do it all the time. Because they're just crabby people. Where does that come from? A lack of being poor in spirit. Who wants to be around crabby people? Bossy, fighting, nagging. By the way, if that's you, you should be concerned. So we've covered two of these Beatitudes. And we're beginning to understand that it's not what you know, it's what you show.
And with that last word, Dr. Smith wraps up today's episode of the Transformed Podcast. Would you consider leaving a comment on the website, sharing your thoughts about the podcast today? And have you considered diving deeper into God's Word so you might know Him better? This year, let us suggest giving yourself the gift that gives every day of the new year. Dr. Smith has written two daily devotionals that cover every day of the coming year, allowing you to give the gift that keeps on giving, God's Word and His encouragement, into the lives of your family and friends. In His Presence is a detailed look at walking with God through life's ups and downs, built around the premise that God welcomes you into His presence with joy and pleasure. In His Presence helps you see that the life of abundance can only be enjoyed when we take everything to the Lord and walk every day at His right hand. In His Image explores God's great love for humanity from every book of the Bible, from the creation of Genesis to the culmination in Revelation. God's love shines through every page, and never is this ever clearer than in the times of Israel's great betrayal of their God. His passionate pursuit of His children can be heard dripping from His voice as He calls them, and us, by proxy, back to His shelter and protection. You can order a copy of In His Image or In His Presence from Amazon at the Eagles in Leadership website by clicking the appropriate link at the right-hand side panel of the Eagles in Leadership website. Today's episode was recorded live and edited by Ryan Longsworth in Hawthorne, California. And now until next time, we are praying that you would be filled with the love of God so that you can demonstrate His love to the lost and dying in your city. God bless.